Well, hello everybody, it's Donna Partow, and I am welcoming you to day 9 of Make This Your Best Year Ever. And it really has been an amazing start, and we're excited to be here, we're excited to be back, and I'm going to have to pause because I don't think the screen is showing. So if you could, oh, now it says it's showing the main screen. Guys, just forgive me. Can someone please hop into the question box and let me know if you are seeing the screen? We're seeing it. Okay, great. We'll try again. Hey, we're just being real here. It's Donna Partow, and we're welcoming you to day 9, and now we can see the screen, and all is well in the universe. So let's pray and ask God to be with us and to guard the technology and to do what he does best, which is all things well. Thank you, God, that you do all things well. Thank you, God, that you do all things well. And because we're made in your image, we can do all things well. It's going to require some diligence. It's going to require integrity. It's going to require a commitment to becoming more and more excellent and developing skill in all that we do. But because we're like you, we can learn to do all things well, and we can get better and better and better an inch at a time. They say it's hard by the yard, a cinch by the inch. And so we're just inching forward here in this race of life. And we're learning to become more excellent. We're learning to become more excellent and to become more diligent. And we thank you, God. I thank you for the way you're working and moving. I thank you for your presence, because that's what breaks. The anointing breaks the yoke of bondage. And the only reason that every one of us is not having, doing, and being all that you've purposed for our lives is because we're in some type of bondage. Bondage to old habits, bondage to old ways of thinking, bondage to false beliefs about what we're worth and what we're capable of, bondage to other people's opinion, bondage to fear. What if I fail? What if I succeed? Some people won't like that. But your presence is what breaks the yoke of bondage. And then, as we saw yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, then you put your yoke on us. We break the yoke of bondage, and then we get a new yoke. And what do you do once you're yoked? You get to work. You know, guys, I think this is a really good insight, because I've never heard anybody else point that out. When Jesus said, you're weary, you're tired, you're heavy laden, come to me and I'll put you to work. I mean, think about that, right? He says, I'll give you rest for your souls. Come to me. All you burnout Christians over there. You've been working, working, working. You're burnt out. You think you need physical rest. No, come to me, yoke up with me, and we'll plow the field together. We're going to get right back to work. I'm going to give you rest for your souls, but your body's going to be in motion because there's still work to do. I still have a call on your life. I still have much that I want to do in partnership with you, but it's going to be so different. It's going to be so different. You've exhausted yourself and it hasn't worked. So let's try it my way. Come over here to me, side by side, and together, let's go after those goals. Let's go after those dreams. Let's write that song. Let's get that painting done. Let's write that book. Let's launch that ministry. Let's take that business to the next level. Let's grow my church. Let's advance my kingdom. But your way isn't working. This was God's message to me on Sunday. His entire message to me was, Donna, You're not the problem, okay? You're not a problem child. You think you're a problem child. You're not a problem child. You are not a problem. Your way is a problem. Your way, the way you're going about things, that's a big problem. And I think this is a message for all of us, because we're all the same. You're not a problem. God doesn't see you as a problem child or a bother or a hard case. He's not like, oh, God, please. No. But maybe your way. Now, your way, the way you're showing up, the way you're doing things, the way you've done them in the past, it's not working. And God says, okay, so here's an idea, just a thought. I'm going to throw this one out to you, child, okay? Let's just ponder. How about if we did it my way? And his way is not always just sitting at his feet, because if you think about it, you know, in Mary's day, the only way to be in the presence of Jesus was to be sitting right next to him. We don't have that limitation anymore. We don't have to be sitting in one place to be sitting with Jesus, because we are eternally seated with Christ in heavenly places. Figure that one out. Good luck. We're already seated with him. Wherever we go, he's there. His presence will go with us, and he will give us rest. That was a promise even to Moses back in that dispensation. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Go with him where? To a battlefield. Hello? Rest isn't sitting in the Barca lounge or watching TV. Rest is doing it God's way. God's way is the rest. The rest of God is when we do it his way. Because then we don't have to figure anything out, which is what exhausts us. And then we don't have to worry about the outcome, which exhausts us. We just need to be passionately involved in the process, and then we can be emotionally detached from the outcome. We just need to be obedient. That's it. So the call of God today is to put aside your way. The way you've been doing it hasn't worked. So now we're going to do it God's way. And God's way is yoked to the Prince of Peace. You know, when you're right next to somebody, you know, the mood they're in is pretty contagious. Atmosphere is real. Before we went live today, we were talking about clutter. Clutter is an atmosphere. Clutter is an atmosphere. If you've got clutter, get rid of it. Clutter is confusion. Clutter is always calling out to you. Do something about me. I challenge you. I dare you. I defy you right now. Do something about me. Get yoked with the Prince of Peace. Get yoked with the atmosphere and get saturated with the atmosphere of the Prince of Peace and see how much more you get done. See how much more of that field you can plow. Right? Because he's not calling us just to sit. I mean, sitting at his feet, worshiping, you know, I'm all in favor. But soul at rest, wonderful, always. In our soul, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. But our body needs to get in gear. And some of you are finding, you know, you're a lot less tired when you get up and get going and get moving towards your goal so that you're no longer tormented by all the things that you've left undone and the destiny you haven't fulfilled. So God, we say today, we say no more. Our way has got to hit the highway. That's it. Our way isn't working. Today, we want to open our hearts and we want to begin your way. And I just, again, I want us to kind of picture ourselves, you know, partnering up, you know, yoking in, locking and loading with Jesus and into the yoke, because he's moving a pace in the world. He's moving a pace in the world. He is on the move. And he wants us on the move with him globally. Let's yoke up with him and see what wonderful places he might take us, because it will astonish us. I will guarantee you this much. He probably wants to take you out of your living room. He probably wants to take you out of your own little world. He probably wants to take you places you never dreamed you would go. And he needs your body to get him there, but that's a different class. Anyway, I love you guys, and I should say amen and end the prayer and start teaching. So there you go. But you know me, I'll pray all day. That's it. I'll start praying among these classes and suddenly realize I prayed the first 20 minutes of the class. But anyway, hopefully you learned something. I don't know. Here we go. Day 9. Remember to ask, why is this just perfect? And your new question. And I'm really enjoying you guys sharing what your new question is. I guess someone had just posted a really good one. Something like, it was basically like, what can poor little pathetic me do? I mean, really. And then it was like, yeah, but what can God do? The new question is, what can God not do? What can I do? I don't know. What can I do? That's a bad question. The real question is, what can God not do? I mean, I'm just yoked to him. I'm just along for the ride, right? I'm just along for the ride, and God's doing it, and I get to be there and enjoy it. Whatever your new question is. I want to share a testimony. Be sure to bring your testimonies to the group, because these are going to bless not only this class, these are going to bless, God willing, hundreds and even thousands of people in years to come, as more and more people discover the power of making this your best year ever. People ask me, well, okay, so it's Women's Empowerment University. Why do men enroll? This is how men get snookered into WEU. You know, they see their wife heading in a great direction, and they don't want to miss it. You know, their wife is suddenly yoked up to Jesus and moving forward, plowing a field, getting things done and doing it with joy. And hubby's like, whoa, wait a minute. I don't want to be left behind. I don't want to miss out on this. Is there room in that yoke for me? Can I help plow the field? This is fun. Something's happening. We're moving forward. And this is where it all begins. And then they start tuning in secretly to the calls and the videos. And then next thing they're like, you know what? I'm just signing up. I just got to be honest on it. I'm totally participating in your classes. I need to pay. So this is from Lynn Waters. I decided that we had to get a whiteboard and a vision board. Yesterday, I told my husband we just had to get them. Where he had done some Christmas work, gave him a gift card. When he went to get it for me, he found another gift card for the same store. I took the gift cards and I bought two whiteboards, vision boards, and colored markers for the whiteboards for what was on the gift card. So, you know, it was all grace. It was all God. So God provides. God's so good. We live on Social Security, so money's tight. But God provided. Why two of everything, you ask? Well, my husband decided he needed to organize his life and make goals for this year also. He has seen how organized I've been and how I've accomplished big projects by doing a little at a time and getting it done. So he has decided he needs this too. Yeah, welcome another man to Women's Empowerment University. This is where it all begins. Next semester, he's probably going to be picking and choosing his own classes. Who knows? Reminder, step one, clarify your vision. Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, you're in the dark. And when you're in the dark, you move really, really slowly. How many of you have just been moving really, really slowly? Okay. When you turn on the light, you know, you can make forward progress. You've got more confidence. You've got more confidence. It's scary in the dark. No wonder you're moving slow. You're afraid. Turn on the light, see where you're going. All of a sudden, you can start leaping. You got to have a plan. You've got to have a plan. And that plan needs to be based on the priorities that you decided in advance. Because if you don't decide in advance what your priorities are, guess what? Everybody else in your life is going to tell you what your priority should be. You know, it's the tyranny of the urgent over the truly important. And if you don't know what's truly important and make a commitment to really get it done, the urgent will crowd it out all year long. All year long, the urgent, and other people's agendas and other people's plans and priorities will get, you know, shoved onto you, and you'll come to the end of the year and you'll be exhausted, and yet you hadn't done the one thing that you promised yourself you were finally going to get done. And you're not going to be happy. Step three is to create a measuring system to track your progress. Very few people do this. I'm telling you, you guys are the elite few. You're doing this. You've created a measuring system. You're in the top of the class in the world. I'm not exaggerating. You are probably in the top 3% of people in the entire world in terms of personal productivity. No exaggeration. Because very few people will take this step. And track. Somebody said the biggest thing that spoke to them yesterday, what gets measured improves, proved. What gets tracked stays on track. It's just true. Again, the people who are accomplished, the people who make an impact on the world, they're not necessarily any smarter. They probably don't even work harder. They work smarter. It's not that they are smarter. It's that they work smarter than you do. I can remember when I was so poor, I was in such poverty. And I learned to ask a good question. I mean, I was living in abject poverty. You guys have no idea how broke I was. And I would drive by these mansions and look at the mansions and think, how smart can they be? How hard can they work? What do they know that I don't know? Surely they must know something I don't know. Yeah, so that rather than being jealous of them and thinking, well, they're probably all a bunch of criminals and terrible one percenters and I should hate them and resent them, you know, my mind was, well, you know, they figured something out. They're doing something right. They're making their lives work. I wonder what it is. And then I get a book like Working Smart and I find out what it is. And I actually met the author. His name is Dr. Michael LaBeouf. And I wrote him a letter. I've done zany stuff like this. It was a zany thing he did. But I wrote him this amazing letter and he was so moved that I ended up meeting not only him, I became friends with his wife. He came to my house for my Christmas party one year. This guy, Dr. Michael LaBeouf, is one of the greatest, management consultants in the world. New York Times bestselling author. But anyway, you never know what God will do. But he was one of those guys living in a mansion while I was living in West Philly with no heat or hot water, with raccoons in the neighboring house, the other half of the duplex, going to the grocery store in the snow with my cart behind me because I didn't have a car. And then I'd get home with groceries, and then I'd have to drag my cart a mile or two to the laundromat to do my laundry, And I'm wondering, how did that guy get into the house on the hill? Well, I found out. I found out by reading his book, and then I found out by getting to know him. Yeah, that was for somebody, I don't know who. You know what, I'll tell you. My spiritual father, I was in Colombia. My spiritual father had invited me and another woman who happened to be 6 foot tall, blonde, gorgeous, the most beautiful woman and that you would ever imagine. Her father was tremendously successful financially, and she became financially independent herself and created a fortune in her heart. I mean, she just... Yeah, I was just jealous. She was beautiful. She was anointed. She was everything that I wished I was. And I was so jealous of her. And that's just true. And we were in the car driving around at Bogota. And I didn't even know what was going on. My father turned around and looked at me and he said, "Donna, jealousy never got anyone anywhere." I was like, whoa. He saw it. He saw it. And I just wept. I went and, got a hold of myself. I took the rebuke from my father and I repented. And I ended up getting to know her. And she's just like the most amazing woman that you would ever meet. We ended up, a couple days later, we decided to partner together in ministry outreach to women. And we ministered together like hand in glove. I mean, we were just such an amazing ministry team. And actually, I'm giving you a really inside story. Several years ago, she contacted me and said, "The Lord has told me that I'm to give you the use of my house over by the beach in Florida, that the Lord wants you to rest for a year and take a sabbatical. And I want you to go and for free stay in this beautiful 3,000 square foot house, just a stone's throw from the beach in Florida, and just, be with the Lord and take a break from ministry." If I had stayed in that place of jealousy and resentment of her success and beauty, God never would have been able to bless me. And I wonder how many times we've robbed ourselves of blessings and robbed ourselves of opportunities and the things that God wants to give us because we indulged in really, really just destructive, self-defeating mindsets. And I have no idea who I'm talking to, but I am talking to someone right now. Jealousy never got anybody anywhere. Resentment never got anybody anywhere. Comparing yourself to other people never got anybody anywhere. You need to set your own goals and go after them and believe for mentors. Maybe that's about the mentor thing. Maybe that person that you're tempted to be jealous of, maybe that's the very person who needs to be your mentor. But you'll never ask them. You'll never have a relationship with them as long as you're stuck in that place of envying what they have and what God's done in their life. So that's a word for somebody. Establish accountability. Establish accountability. Number five then is to monitor your milestones. It's not enough to make these charts. You gotta track it. You gotta monitor it along the way and monitor especially like big milestones. And I suggest it quarterly. Quarterly is a great, I said weekly evaluation, but then quarterly milestones. What do I need to get done this quarter? Celebrate. How many of you really got a revelation about that? You can even type it into the question box. How many of you got a major revelation that God commands us to celebrate and that every command of God is for our good? Every command of God is for our benefit because he knows the way we're made. And when God commands us to celebrate, 88 times, we should probably pay attention to that because God knows us really, really well. We must need celebration. So I think that that was a big revelation for a lot of us. I did want to pick up some things I didn't cover for day eight. And I think these are important, that God is a rewarder. God is a rewarder. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe, number one, that he is. But number two, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So rewarding is not just something God does. It's fundamentally who he is. So it's part of his character. And if we're made in the image of God, then there's some part of us that was born to give and receive rewards. I know the new thing is that everybody gets a participation reward. But I don't see God giving the participation reward. it's not for all the participants. It's for those who diligently seek him. We were born for this stuff. We were born to live a rewarding life. Is your life rewarding? Is your life worthy of celebration? It is. Especially when you yoke up with Jesus and do things for the kingdom that are really worth eternal rewards. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. It's one of my favorite all-time verses. I never forget, if I lived to be a million years, hearing the great expository preacher, Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, at 10th Presbyterian Church, downtown Philadelphia, preaching on this. He preached word by word through the book of Genesis. I think he spent 2 years on it. Wow, most amazing experience to sit under such magnificent Bible teaching. Wow. We don't have expository teachers anymore. I don't know. Seems like it's all topical. That way you can avoid the uncomfortable passages. But oh, I'll never forget his booming voice teaching that God is your very great reward. God himself is your reward. That just when just hearing him speak and draw you near. Wow. Just being with him, just partnering with him, just being next to him. I mean, a lot, that is the reward. Being in the yoke next to Jesus, that's the reward. Beautiful. God knows, again, God knows how we're made. He knows that if we don't take time to celebrate and proactively reward ourselves for a job well done, so if we miss any of that, if we miss celebrating and we miss proactively rewarding ourselves and we miss actually the part about doing the job well, if we're not doing anything well, we will turn to self-comfort. You will comfort, cope, and escape. That's it. You will comfort, cope, and escape. And he knows it. You'll reward all the wrong behaviors with all the wrong rewards. I know I'm harping on this. I'm going to wrap it up real quick. Make a list of behavior you want to reward. Make a list of good for you rewards you enjoy. Only reward good behavior. Only reward good behavior with rewards that are good for you. Two critical steps. Stop unconsciously rewarding the wrong behavior. And number two, start consciously, proactively, aggressively, intentionally rewarding the right behavior. You want to change? Find the behavior you want and reward it. You want to change? Find the behavior you want to see repeating and reward it. And stop rewarding the wrong behavior. Otherwise, this won't work. Day nine, make yourself nervous. Guys, laugh at this. Okay, I'm not literally saying make yourself nervous. Okay, it's hyperbole, right? And this isn't for everybody. I'm going to be honest right up front. I'll tell you right now, this won't work for everybody. In fact, it probably won't work for most of you. But for those that it will work for, this to me is the most powerful motivator. But it only works if you're a person of like unimpeachable integrity. If you're the kind of person who like makes an excuse, this won't work for you at all. Like at all. It won't work. But if you are no matter what man or woman and you swear to your own hurt and change not, if you're that kind of a person, like if you say that you're going to do something, you're going to do it no matter what. If you're that kind of person or want to become that person and practice becoming that person rather than the person who just lets yourself off the hook. You know, you want everybody else to deliver 100% and you deliver 2% and they're the problem. You know what I'm saying? Just being honest. If you would like to practice, let me say, becoming a person of unimpeachable integrity. And it just experiencing what that feels like and how different your life could be if you would just really be serious about honoring your word and honoring your commitments. And when you don't, really, reaping the consequences for it. Then give this a try. Give this a try. But I've seen from experience, most people this won't work for. But for I'm sharing it because it's worth it. Because a few of you are going to get hold of this, and it's really, really powerful. This is totally one of my secrets. Because if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I put myself out there, that's it. And that'll change your life, that alone. Again, anyone can, I know I'm giving you a lot of information. You're going to have to trust the Holy Spirit to say, hey, that's where I need to camp out. I need to pitch a tent. I need to pitch a tent right here. The tribe may be moving into other areas. I got to pitch my tent here and really, go down deep into this. So number 18 is plot dire consequences. Okay. And we talked about the power of rewards, and they're powerful, but humans are often more motivated by the fear of loss than the hope of gain, more driven to avoid pain even than to seek pleasure. Now, here's how to put that to work for you. Think of something you hate to do. Then, if you fail to achieve your goal on time, you got to go do it for somebody else. Okay, let me just give you a couple fun examples. Let's say you can't stand washing your car. Great. Your dire consequence is not going to be to wash your own car. Your dire consequence would be to wash 5 cars in your neighborhood on one Saturday afternoon. Okay, so you've got to have a specific goal over a specific time frame, and you've got your reward all laid out. That's what's going to happen wonderfully. But then you've got the dire consequence that if I don't do these specific things by this specific time, then I've got to face the consequences. So let's say you dislike house cleaning. The punishment isn't cleaning your own house. I'll say more about that in a minute. Now, volunteer to spend a day scrubbing the bathrooms at a homeless shelter. Would you want to do that? If you hate cleaning, I don't think you do. Offer to clean all the men's room at your church for a month if you don't hit your goal. Mm-hmm. You don't like cooking? You don't like doing dishes? The consequence isn't doing your own cooking and dishes. That's what soup kitchens are for. So you'll be spending a full day at a soup kitchen cooking and doing dishes. That would be your dire consequence. Public humiliation is another great motivator. This is my great motivation. Would you be mortified to be seen in public in a bathing suit at your current weight? Okay, so the perfect dire consequence might be posting a photo of yourself in a swimsuit on Facebook if you don't lose the weight you commit to losing within the planned time frame. Again, I told you, this isn't for everybody. If it's not for you, that's okay. This is a day for someone else, right? One of my favorites, and this is the one that I do most often now, is I'll buy the gift card or the gift certificate in advance for the reward that I want, okay? Let's say I want to go to a restaurant. No, I don't want to go to a restaurant. I want to go to a play, or I want to go to the spa or something pampering. I like that. I buy the gift card as soon as I set the goal, and I put it right in front of me. And then if I make the deadline, I get to use the gift card. If I don't, I have to give it away. Now, here's the key. You can't give it to someone you love. You can't even give it to someone you're mad at. You can't give it to anyone you know who would then be grateful to you, because that would feel rewarding. You have to give it to a total random stranger who doesn't look like they need it. or you need to give it to someone who's like someone is rude to you in a store. You give it to them. Or go back to the place where you bought it. Give it to the person at the front desk. Say, give this to anyone you want. I don't care who. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a punishment. It's got to be something you don't want to happen. And you're like, you know what? There is no way I'm giving away this gift card. Now, this is the key, and we've gotten in trouble with this before, so I need to really emphasize this. You must choose a goal that doesn't depend on anyone or anything else cooperating. That includes your skill. You can't make it about a number on the scale because you can't control that. You can do your best. And someone asked that in the class the other day. They're like, what if my goal completely depends on other people getting with the program? That's not a goal. That's a dream. And so focus on your activity level. In other words, you can't control what the scale does, but you can control how many days you're sugar-free. You can control how many miles you walk. You can control how many days you exercise. You can control how many days you get to bed on time. Whatever it is, focus more on your activity level. So this month, I'm going to go 21 days sugar-free. And I can control that. I'm completely in control of that. It doesn't depend on anything or anyone outside of me. I know for certain whether or not I went sugar-free on a given day. That gives you the certainty. We don't want you in uncertainty like, oh, I don't know. What if the scale doesn't cooperate? What if my husband doesn't cooperate? No. Focus on your own activity. That can be tracked and clearly measured. You don't want any subjectivity in this or any variables that are just unpredictable, because that'll make you bonkers. That's unfair to you. That's crazy making. We don't want that. So plot out what is the, you can control if you write 1 hour a day. You can't even control if Jesse's writing songs. You can't even control if it flows, but you can control 30 minutes a day. I'm going to sit for 30 minutes a day and I'm going to write. And I don't know if any of it'll be usable, but I'm going to sit down 30 minutes a day and work on my music. I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day every day painting, whatever it is. I'm going to spend 30 minutes a day every day working on my new blog, whatever. Track your activity. And another thing that you might do to give yourself just a tiny bit of wiggle room, okay, is say, okay, in the month of February, 21 out of 30 days, how many days are in February? Anyway, 28? I never remember. Okay, so in 21 days, I'm going to be sugar-free. So that gives you a tiny bit of a margin for error. I'm going to have at least 21 days within the next 30 or 28 or whatever where I'm going to do this activity. So you give yourself a tiny bit of breathing room, but not a lot. Then like if one day you're sick or you miss it, it's not like the sky has fallen and you have no hope. Give yourself a tiny bit of wiggle room. Does that make sense? And then if you don't do what you said you were going to do, then you face the consequences. I personally find this incredibly motivating. If I go buy a $100 gift certificate to my favorite spa, you better believe I want to be the one. Make it a sacrifice. Make it something that really, really motivates you to get moving and get it done. Something you've got a reward, something you really want, and then a dire consequence, something you really don't want. Okay? Hope this makes sense. Is this helping somebody? Avoiding pain is an even more powerful human motivation than seeking pleasure. Just a few more clarifications. Fulfilling your own personal I was amazed how confused people were about this. Fulfilling your own personal responsibilities does not qualify as a dire consequence. That qualifies as life. It's like, well, if I don't meet my goal, I'm going to clean my bedroom. You're supposed to clean your bedroom anyway. That won't work, right? Cleaning your, if you don't fulfill it, that's a separate issue for another class, right? If you hate cleaning, then a dire consequence would be cleaning someone else's house. Or this one's worse. Inviting people you respect to come tour the worst parts of your house. You're going to have your pastor come over and invite him to go see everything. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Here's one. Set a date for an open house party, you know, find someone in the church with a birthday, you know, 30 days from now and plan a party for them. And the dire consequence is baked into the cake. If you don't get that house clean, all those people are coming, whether your house is clean or not. That's a good one. That's a good one. And you're going to give them a tour of all the closets so you can't kid a kidder. That's a good one. That's an idea for somebody. Get yourself motivated and make it fun. I mean, this again, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. That I hope you're hearing my heart here. I'm trying to help you come up with ideas that are going to motivate you in every possible way to get moving and to get things done. But if this is like, oh no, I would be so, then don't do it. They told you up front, it's not for everybody. And that's fine. You know, maybe next year when you come back and redo this class, you'll be like, you know, I'm ready to try that dire consequence thing. I think I'm going to try that. I'm going to book a week on the beach with my husband a year from now, and I'm going to wear my bathing suit no matter what. me and my husband, I'm going to be on the beach. And the dire consequences, I'm going to commit to posting pictures of me on the beach with my husband. Okay? I better get moving. Again, I already covered this. You pick something you absolutely don't want to do. And then allow some people to hold you, hold you accountable to suffer the consequence if you don't meet your goal. I mean, will you really do it? Would you really follow through with the dire consequence, or would you just let yourself off the hook? I had someone once, and we publicly set these goals, and mine was, I think, fasting 10 days out of 21, and it was really hard. It was really hard, but I'm like, I know, I gave my word, I got to do it. I'm like, I've got to get 10 days of fasting into these 21 and just praying for grace and pressing in and really going all in. And then we got to the end of the 21 days and I talked with the other person who had made this commitment to do something fairly easy. And she's like, yeah, I didn't bother. I'm like, okay, you're going to do the consequence you agreed to? She's like, nah. That should have been a clue to me. It's your turn. List some things that would constitute dire consequences for you. And if it can be something that's making a contribution to the world while making you bonkers, serving in the soup kitchen, cleaning the men's room. I mean, you're actually doing some good, raking the neighbor's yard, washing the neighbor's car, cleaning the neighbor's toilet. You could be doing some good. Make it kind of fun, but also a little bit scary. I hope this makes sense. And I hope that it helps somebody. Let me pray for you guys and take any questions or comments that you might have, because I have a feeling this was a little bit of a controversial one. So God, we thank you so much that you love us and that your love is unconditional. Even if we don't reach our goals, even if we don't get things done, you still love us. But the Bible is filled with if-then statements. From start to finish, if and then. I should track how many times the Bible says the words if and then. If you do this, then that. If this, then that. If this, then that. If not this, then the other. If this, then that. If this, then that. If not this, then the other. The Bible is filled with it. It's a fundamental principle of life that there are consequences. There are always consequences. And a lot of times they're unintended consequences or unanticipated consequences. But we can be, but a lot of times they don't have to be. You're like, wow, I never would have dreamed that would happen. Really? If I don't exercise for 20 years, then my health will suffer? Wow, I didn't see that one coming. Mm-hmm. So we're just trying to be more intentional. God, help us to see more clearly. And help us to understand that the universe makes sense. That you have baked into the system consequences, some of them blessed, some of them dire. And both are part of the human experience. You say over and again, child, if you will do things my way, you will be blessed. If you will do it just this way, I'm showing you right here in black, white, and red. If you do it this way, then you're going to be blessed. Then you're going to prosper. The diligent will prosper. The person of integrity will be promoted. But if not, then it's not going to go well for you. I love you, but it's not going to go well for you. It's not going to go well for you. The Bible doesn't, I mean, I love everybody and God loves everybody, but the Bible is very clear. If you're not diligent, it's not going to go well for you. The book of Proverbs is nothing good. There's going to be really bad consequences. And I think the purpose of today's exercise and this thing that I'm sharing is to just be more proactive and intentional. Because once again, as with rewards, you are facing dire consequences. You already are. This pattern is already happening in your life. This principle is already operating in your life. You're just not seeing it. You are already experiencing some dire consequences of your own activity or inactivity, as the case may be. It's already happening. You're just not seeing it. So the whole purpose of this exercise is to open your eyes to the principle that's already unfolding and already operating. And to just simply, instead of letting it unfold unconsciously, to just be more conscious of it, to be more intentional about it and proactive, and to begin to even make this work for you. With the enemy intended for evil, God intended for good, the saving of many lives. So the devil intends for these dire consequences to show up in your life in a destructive way. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But what if we turned that on its head and said, no. I'm actually going to use negative potential consequences. I'm actually even going to take that. And because God is so good, I'm going to make even that work for my good. Because I'm going to go in with eyes wide open and look at my, sit down and say, and even guys, maybe the logic of real logical consequence. I'm going to proactively face this reality in my life. I'm going to take 21 days and be very intentional in my understanding that there are always consequences of my activity or inactivity. And I'm really going to think about that. And I'm going to really let it seep in to the deepest part of my soul so that I understand this principle is operating. It's already operating. Those of you like, oh, I don't dire consequences. I don't want to face bad consequences. You already are. You already are. You're just not being intentional about it. It's already happening. What if you were to make it work for you instead of against you? See, just it's the same thing. Habits, they're either working for you or against you. Whether you face it or not, it's still true. Rewarding behavior, it's already happening. It's either working for you or against you. Let's make it work for you. Same with dire consequences. It's already happening. Let's make it work for you. And this is a way that you can take something, even something that the devil intended to harm you, dire consequences. It's a way to redeem, to take something worthless and make it worth something. This is like redeeming a coupon. You're cutting it out of the paper and you're taking it into the store and saying, I'm going to make this worthless piece of paper. Now it's going to be worth something. In all the consequences that you've faced in the past because of your activity or failure to take action, you're going to redeem it right now. You're going to cut it out, put it on a piece of paper and say, you know what? You can't beat me and nothing that comes against me can defeat me because with my God, everything can be made to work together for good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. So even this principle can work together for my good if I'm proactive about it. So God, I thank you and I ask you to just, would you just give a spirit of wisdom and revelation right now? Because I can't get this one through. I can't teach it through. Words aren't going to do. Holy Spirit, would you release the spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you show each of your children one area of their life where this principle is clearly working, where they are already facing dire consequences in their life. And it was operating under the radar screen all along. And would you show them two things? First, show them if they need to pass on this right now. They're just not ready. A lot of you are just not ready. That's okay. I give you permission right now. You're not ready? Let it go. Let it go. Let it drop. Put your hands, palms up. If you sense maybe you're not ready for this, I want you to put your hands out, palms up. And now I want you to turn your palms down and let it drop. Okay? It's not for you. Just shake it out. It's not for you. That's okay. Come back to it next year. for the rest of you. I want you to ask God to show you one area of your life where you could turn this around. Proactively choose what are the dire consequences going to be, what the activity is. You've already got your goal and your reward. What activity within that can you track? Real super specific, completely within your control, very trackable on a daily basis, and give you a strategy to really make this work for you, because right now it's working against you. I love you guys so much, and I really just hope this helped. I love you. Let me stop the recording and take your comments and questions.